Good morning, all. I hope you weren't too offended by that. We're all different. We do worship different. If I go to your church, it looks very different to the Anglican church, the Catholic. It looks different to our church. We all worship differently. And inside here, we worship differently. I noticed that he didn't notice the one that I just noticed was the most common. It must be the Baptist worship move. I'm not sure what to entitle that. But we all worship differently. So the question is, who's right? Absolutely. There is no right. There is no wrong. It is who you are. It's who we are. And we as Baptists have a way that we do things, and there's a breadth within that, and there's a capacity for us to do different things in worship. We have worship when we're here. We have worship during the week. We have worship in our homes. We worship differently. And that's good, because in the Bible, there's so many people worshiping very, very differently. And I want to go through a few. The first people are people who composed and wrote songs, like Miriam, when God delivered the Hebrew nation across the Red Sea. And Mary, when she was aware of having the baby. David danced before the Lord. A lot of other people had made Israel victorious in the Ark of the Covenant coming home. There's people who are dancing. The wise men made a spiritual journey when they heard of Jesus and they followed the star. Peter and John raised a lame man, and when he was risen, he went walking and leaping and praising God in the temple. Paul told Timothy to tell men everywhere to raise holy hands. Mary, a friend of Jesus, broke a vase of expensive perfume over his feet and washed them with her hair. We could try that if you wanted. The early church met to take the Lord's Supper together. The book of Revelation is full of references to show the congregation who fell down passionately on their faces in worship. And Psalm 46 tells us to be still and know that he is God. You and me, be worship and be quiet and silent before God. Abraham, he was a traditionalist. He put structures all over the place to remind all the altars, to remind the people of what God had done. David was passionate and exuberant in his worship, and he celebrated being in God's presence with singing and dancing. Mary, her pathway to worship was sitting in Jesus' presence, contemplating who he is and what he's doing. And Paul was an intellectual. He studied, he tried to understand deeper of who God is and what God's doing. There's so many expressions of what worship is. What is worship for you? How do you worship God? Because for worship, it's showing reverence and adoration. It's showing God, or speaking to God, or being present with God, realizing who he is and what he's done for us. Worship for me is a response to love. Worship is an acknowledgement of love and a response of love. I want to read from Romans 5. And I'll put my glasses on because I'm struggling to see. You see, at just the right time, when we're still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved by God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Love is core to worship. And we come before God because God showed us the depth of his love. God loved me and you so much that he sent Jesus to live amongst us, to be persecuted, to be rejected, to be mocked, to be scorned, to be crucified for me. He didn't do that out of pride or a big project. He did that because he loved me. He loves you. That's how much God loves us. Jesus came, he lived, he was crucified, he rose again. Jesus has shown his love for us. God the Father has shown his love for us. So what do we do with that? Do we just say, nice, thanks? Do we respond in love and worship with reverence and awe? God loves us. He did so much for us. The only response we can have is to give him the worship that he deserves. So where do we worship? The first place we worship is within ourselves. Our whole life is an act of worship. Everything we do, all of who we are, as people of God, every aspect of who we are is an act of worship. Romans 12, 1-2 says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We are called to be giving God everything we have. Just rocking up on a Sunday doesn't cut it. Just praying here and there doesn't cut it. God's calling us for our whole lives to be an act of worship before him. So where do we worship? We worship in everything we do, in all of who we are. But more than that, we also worship on our own as a response. And it's an individual thing. We find places and times to worship God. In Psalm 63, I'm just going to leave my glasses. When I wear my glasses, I can't see you, but I can read. When I take my glasses off, I can see you, but I can't read. So I'm going to wear my glasses and promise not to fall asleep so I don't have to point at you. So I'm going to wear my glasses for a bit. I'm having a bad eye day. So Psalm 63, God calls us to worship as individuals. And David says, on my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. David's saying that I call out to you, God. I reflect on you. I'm reminded of who you are. I worship you and I honor you with who I am. We're called to, as people, as individuals, as Christians, to be able to reach out to God. But we're also called to come together to pray, to come together to worship. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10. God's saying that we can't live on our own, that we need to come together to worship. And what I love most is when we come together to worship, there's times where I'm down and others are up. There's times where others are strong and passionate when I'm a bit, but I can walk with them. We all have good days, we have days that we struggle a bit more, but when we come together, we celebrate together. And I always find that I'm picked up with those who are in that good place. I'm encouraged and I'm strengthened because of those around me. I'm able to get out of my own thought bubble to be able to come into where God wants me to be. In Psalm 111, as we read before, praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright, and in the assembly. God calls us to worship together. And yet the disappointing and frustrating thing of that is that worshiping together is where we have so much conflict. If we look over the years, there's been so much conflict over how we worship. Do we put our hands in our pockets or do we touch down? Tomorrow's gridiron, sorry. But we conflict over that. We conflict over what version of the Bible. We conflict over how many songs. We conflict over the pace of the songs. We conflict over whether we should have PowerPoint or not, or if I should wear a tie or not. Heads up, not going to happen, but I thought I'd mention it. We conflict over so many things, and all of them are peripheral to the core aspect that we come to worship God together. We come to strengthen ourselves before God together. We come together to encourage and to build each other up. And we are all different in that. And we walk in grace and mercy and love. One of the things about love that frustrates me is I don't get my own way all the time. Janelle thinks I do, but I don't. But that's okay, because we walk in a relationship. We walk in a relationship, and my goal as a husband is to empower Janelle to be the most that she can be, to build her up, to strengthen her. If we're coming together, then our goal is to come to here, to build each other up, to strengthen each other, to bring each other strength and encouragement and life and love. And sometimes I get what I want. And sometimes I walk in grace and mercy and love. But that's a bit of a distraction. Sorry about that. I went on a tangent. When I think of worship and it comes out of a heart of love, there's something that I've read years ago that I found really helpful. And it's a book by Gary Chapman. And it's called The Five Love Languages. I want to have a look at this. Have you heard this before? Excellent. Well, you probably know it better than I do, because I only know mine. The others don't matter. We love differently. We worship differently. We love differently. What I want to have to do is to have a quick look at this and to say, we are different, but where do we come from? The question before I look at love languages is, when have you felt the most loved? That's, I think, probably pretty hard for a lot of us. What moment in our lives have we felt the most loved? Now let's have a look at these different love languages and see what they look like. The first one is words of affirmation. The person whose primary love language is words of affirmation really feel loved when you express their appreciation for the things that person does or what that person means to you. The second one is quality time. For this person, for someone to spend time with them, is really a way of expressing love. The third one is receiving gifts. So when we receive gifts, when someone gives us a gift, we feel loved. The next one is acts of service. When someone goes out of their way to serve us, to help us, to be present with us, we feel loved. And the last one is physical touch. So some people are a lot more touchy than others. Some have a no-hug rule. Other people have a you walk within 3 meters of me, you get a hug and you will feel loved kind of rule. We're different. But for some people, physical touch is really important because it's a way of saying, I feel loved. So there's different love languages. And there's some of you will say that yes, yes, no, no, never. But we all respond in different ways. We feel love different ways. Now, if you were to want to tell me that you loved me, which I encourage, then how do you do that? Because if your love language is acts of service, then to show your love for me, you'll want to do an act of service. If your expression of love is physical touch, then you want to come and give me a hug. I'm not encouraging that at all. If your love language is quality time, you want to spend time with me. Now, which of those do I feel love? Because if I have a way of feeling love and you express your way of love in your way, am I getting that love? No. Because for me to express love to another person, I need to understand how they experience love, how they accept love, and I need to be able to do that in their way. Does that make sense? So if I have a friend whose love language is acts of service, and I come up and say, "You're doing a really good job. I love how you're doing this. You're looking good," and I give them a hug, will they feel loved? Kinda, but no. When we want to show someone our love, we need to speak in their language and not in my language. So why am I saying that? Because when we come to worship, we are expressing love to God. And so we are going to express to love to God through how I love. So there's people here who want to express their love and want to express it to God, and so they want to say and express attitude, gratitude and thankfulness to God. There's others who will want to serve Him by loving His family. We all want to serve God. So which one is right? And which one does God get? Well, I want to say that God's pretty big. God made all of us. God gets it. God expresses love in every way and understands love in every way. The challenge is on us to not just stop at where we are. We can use as an excuse to say, well, my love language is this, so I will only worship God in this way because it doesn't count. We need to learn how to show love to God, how to worship God in different ways, to broaden who we are, to step outside of our comfort zones, and to be able to work on the challenges that God puts before us. And yes, that means sometimes we need to hug others. Good news for a few. So let's go through those five different elements and look at them in relation to worship. Firstly, words of affirmation. How do we express love to God through words of affirmation? Well, it's probably easier in a church aspect, because when we come to church, we talk about thanksgiving, we talk about praise. We do this quite often. This is a strength that we have within church and within our services. When we appreciate someone, we tell them how we're feeling, how we see them. We encourage them and empower them. We strengthen them. And as we worship God, we go to God and say, this is what you've done. This is how I appreciate you. This is why I love you and why I follow you and why I worship you. Hebrews 13:15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess His name. We come to church to profess God who He is. And sometimes it's good for us to have a list of things that God has done. We tend to be kind of forgetful sometimes, and that's a generous, nice way of putting it. But there's times where we need to write down, what has God done? What is God doing? How can I thank Him? And then to be able to thank God through the list that we've written and we put down before us. God asks us to come and give Him words of affirmation. But God also calls us to give quality time. God calls us and wants us to sit with Him and to be able to spend time with Him, to know Him. And different ways we can do that is through Bible study, meditation on the Word, prayer, personal worship time. We can spend time with God. It's important to be able to say, how do I spend my time with my God? Deuteronomy 17 says, when He takes the throne of His kingdom, He is to write for Himself on a scroll a copy of this law taken from that of the Levitical priests. It is to be with Him, and He is to read it all the days of His life, so that He may learn to revere the Lord His God and follow carefully all the words of the law and these decrees. God's saying that the king, when he sits with the words of God and reflects on the law and goes over it and over it and over it, when he spends time, he understands God's more. He understands God deeper. And we need to be able to spend time to ponder on who God, to spend time with God, to be able to develop that relationship, that connection with Him. God calls us to spend quality time with Him. There's also a way of receiving gifts. I find that God gives us so many gifts that He shows that maybe that's my spiritual gift, maybe that's my love language. It's my birthday coming up soon. So receiving gifts, how do we receive gifts? Or how do we give gifts to God? We give Him our offering, that's good. We give Him time, that's good. But God's actually asking us to give Him far more. Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. God's asking us to give Him all of who we are, to give Him everything. The problem with a living sacrifice is it can run off the altar when we put it on. And we give God with the best intentions, God, I give you my all, I give you everything. But then as we go through the week, there's so many demands and so many things that come and challenge us and steal away from our commitment. A living sacrifice kind of wiggles away. So it's something that we constantly go and say, God, I give you my all. I give you everything that I am. And we give it to God over and over and over again. Not because God wants it, but because we kind of take it back. But God wants us to be able to give our lives to Him as a reflection of what He's already given us. Acts of service. How do we do acts of service for God? Is there any end to it? There's so many things we can do for God. The passage we read before about when did I see you hurting and hungry? When were you in hospital needing a visit? And Jesus and God said, when you did this to the least of these, you did that for me. God wants us to be Jesus to our community, to be Jesus to those around us. And as we do acts of service to God's people, as we do acts of service to the not yet God's people, we're blessing God and we're showing Him that we love Him and we honour Him. 1 John 5:3 says, in fact, this is love for God, to keep His commands. And His commands are not burdensome. Yeah, I skipped that one, Anna. His commands are not burdensome. But sometimes they're hard, but they're a blessing. But we're called to love Jesus and love God, and through loving other people, we are reflecting the love of God. Matthew 25:31 is that passage that I read out before, or that Adrian read out before. To separate the microphones, the white from the black. So we're called, the last love language is physical touch. Now, how do we do physical touch with God? Because God's a bit hard to touch. And yet when Jesus is talking about touching, it's not necessarily just a physical touch. Because the concept of what touch is a connection and an acceptance. Jesus went around and touched a lot of people He was not allowed to touch or not supposed to touch. He touched lepers. When lepers came to Him, He touched them and He prayed for them. He touched people that were ostracized from the community. And by touching people, He showed acceptance and love. And so we need to repeat that as well, to be able to show that we accept and love people, whatever that looks like. Matthew 8:1 says, when Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed Him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before Him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out His hand and touched the man. I am willing, He said, be clean. And immediately he was cleansed of leprosy. we tend to not always like accepting others who are different to us. There's people that we feel safe around, we feel easily connected to. There's people that are a part of who we are. But then Jesus is saying, how do we connect and accept and love those who are a little bit different? How do we connect and love people that are not necessarily like us? How do we go, for the second time in the service, beyond the fence? How do we take that challenge of becoming uncomfortable to connect and love to people? As we show God love, as we try to work through what that means, how do we accept those around him and accept the people that Jesus is wanting to love as well? Mark 10 says the people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed their hands on them, and blessed them. We need to experience the touch of God. We need to experience a hug from Jesus. We need to experience the acceptance of our God and his people. So, which is the best way of worshiping God? Well, the challenge is to worship him in ways that we're a little less comfortable with. To worship him in ways that may not tick our box immediately, but is an expression of our love for him. If someone wants to connect with me and say that they respect me and honour me, and they do it in the easiest way possible, does that speak as loudly as doing something where they're very uncomfortable and it's a real challenge for them? We can easily just walk along life and going, God, you made me like this. You made me to be serving people. You made me to be giving gifts. You made me to be vocal and speak things. You made me touchy-feely, huggy, and I'm going to do that to worship you. Or we can say, God, all these things, I want to express to you my love because I'm uncomfortable doing them. Because they're not natural, because I have to work on them. But God, I want to do it because you are worth that. God wants us to know him, to love him, to go the extra mile, to not be caught in the box that we put ourselves in, to not refrain ourselves, but to walk in the challenge of knowing God and loving God and walking with his people. So what's the challenge before you? How are you going to step beyond the fence? How are you going to challenge and show God your love for him beyond what is comfortable? I'll pray in a moment, but I have, if you want, some quizzes about love languages, and it's just a little quiz of A, B, A, B, A, B, A, B. It'll help you to be able to say, this is possibly something that is helpful to me to understand how I think. And it's always a good question to ask someone who's close to you, where are you at? To be able to understand, how do I love you? And there's a question, how do I receive love? And extending that, where do I need to challenge myself to walk in that relationship with God and to worship him? So I've got a pile of these for afterwards. Come and grab them. Let's pray.